I'm Nathan Cones here with your midday news for Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. Farmers across Iowa again made significant planting progress last week as drier conditions allowed more time for field work, according to the latest crop progress report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For the week ending May 10th, Iowa farmers had 6.5 days suitable for field work. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says farmers made a lot of planting progress last week thanks to drier conditions across the state. Although parts of northern Iowa had a few mornings of frost, the forecast through mid-May indicates warmer temperatures and the potential for more near-normal rainfall. As long as conditions are favorable, farmers will keep the planters rolling this week. Corn planting did jump ahead to approximately 72% complete statewide, matching last year's pace now and running 9 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. Corn emergence reached 19%, 8 points behind last year, but in line with the 5-year average. Soybean planting reached 60% equal to last year and 12% above the 5-year average, with 7% emerged as of the weekend. Oat planting reached 94%, slightly behind last year's 96%. Topsoil moisture conditions measured 26% short to very short, 68% adequate, and 5% surplus. You can check out that full report online at nass.usda.gov. A sold-out crowd of around 600 Iowa Hawkeye fans gathered Monday evening at the Arcadia Legion Hall for the Carroll Area iClub's annual banquet, which featured a lineup of prominent figures connected to the University of Iowa Athletics Department. Among the featured guests were Athletic Director Beth Gates, head football coach Kirk Ferentz, men's basketball coach Ben McCollum, women's basketball coach Jan Jensen, wrestling coach Tom Brands, and longtime Hawkeye radio broadcaster Gary Dolphin. Doors for the event opened at 5:30 and filled up pretty quick with a social hour, followed by dinner catered by Litterdale Country Store at 6:30 p.m. The evening program got underway at 7:30. The Carroll Area iClub has been recognized multiple times as one of the top Hawkeye fan groups in the iClub network, which showed based on Monday's attendance. Awards and scholarships were also presented to fans, including Meredith Sturm of Breda and Olivia Graving of Manning. Brecken Prussing of Denison was named Junior Hawk of the Year, while Mark Remsburg of Audubon and Chris Neeland of Breda were named Hawks of the Year. Early voting opens tomorrow for Iowa's June 2nd primaries. Carroll County Auditor Courtney Pyre reminds voters that primaries are not to decide who will hold office. Rather, it is for Iowa's recognized parties to determine who will appear on the ballot during the midterm elections in November.
The primary election's like two elections in one. So we have a Democratic and a Republican. So the voters do need to declare a party to vote, and they will get that party's ballot. And then candidates win the nomination, and then they're placed on the ballot in November. So there's really no winners, they're nominees, because they're going to run for the actual seat in November.
There's only one contested race for local elected positions on the ballot for either party, and that's for the Republican nomination for Carroll County District 4 Supervisor. However, there are several state and federal seats on both sides of the aisle on the ballot. For Democrats, that includes the U.S. Senate race between Josh Turek and Zach Walls, and the District 4 U.S. Representative race between Stephanie Steiner, Ashley Wolf Turnabain, and Dave Dawson. On the GOP side of things, Ashley Hinson and Jim Carlin are facing off for the U.S. Senate nomination. Chris Cornoyer and Abigail Moss for state auditor, and Adam Steen, Eddie Andrews, Randy Feenstra, Zach Lane, and Brad Sherman for the GOP's gubernatorial nomination. Pyre says there are multiple options for voters to participate in those June primaries.
Obviously, you can vote on Election Day, which is June 2nd, at your polling place. Polls are open 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you want to vote absentee, or some people call it early voting, that starts Wednesday. There's two ways to vote absentee. You can do it in person at the auditor's office. That would be May 13th through June 1st, which is the day before the election. The hours are 8 to 4:30. And by mail, that also begins on May 13th. You must provide the auditor's office with an absentee ballot request form to have a ballot mailed to you. The last day that we can mail a ballot is Monday, May 18th. So you can see there's a very short window, and the absentee ballot request forms are on our county website. So I would encourage anybody that wants a ballot mailed to get that to us as soon as they can, and then we can mail those out on the 13th.
The Carroll County Auditor's Office will also be open on Saturday, May 30th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. to catch early voters who can't make it during the regular hours. Pyre reminds residents planning to vote to plan ahead and check their registration before heading to the office or to the polls on primary day.
A person that is not registered currently would need to have an ID, so So proof of identity and proof of residency. And that's most commonly found with somebody's driver's license. We do run into issues with people's address being wrong on a driver's license, but as long as they have some type of a bill, like whether it's a tax bill, bank statement, cell phone bill that has their current address, that can be used for proof of residency as well.
Iowans can check their registration status online at sos.iowa.gov. Voters with questions are encouraged to contact their respective county auditor's office directly. And we do need to step away here for just a moment. Stick around. Got more news on the way. It's after this on KCIM.
Culver's would like to congratulate all area graduates. Best wishes and much success in your future. A special congratulations to graduating members of the Culver's family, Mason Stitz and Kieran Polking.
Hi, this is Tori Johnson, Director of Mental Health Services with St. Anthony Regional Hospital. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's time we say it loud and clear. It's okay to not be okay, and it's even more okay to talk about it. We all have mental health, just like we have physical health. But for far too long, stigma has kept too many people suffering in silence. Let's change that together. At St. Anthony, we're proud to support the Make It Okay movement because change starts with these three simple steps. Learn the facts about mental health and illnesses. Talk, because a real conversation can break the silence and the stigma. Share your care, your story, your voice. Be the reason someone knows they're not alone. Whether you're struggling or someone you love is, we're here. With compassionate inpatient and outpatient care, St. Anthony Mental Health Services is ready to walk beside you every step of the way. Call us today or visit stanthonyhospital.org. Let's make it okay, because mental health matters. Always look to the cross, always St. Anthony.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst has named Green Real Estate and Auction Company of Sac County as the latest Small Business of the Week. Ernst, who serves as chair of the U.S. Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, announced the recognition as part of her initiative to highlight one small business in each of Iowa's 99 counties during the 119th Congress. Ernst says Green Real Estate and Auction Company proves that investing in Iowa land is truly evergreen. For more than a century, the Greens have helped Iowa families navigate property sales, estate transitions, and agricultural transactions while adapting to meet the evolving needs of local communities, farmers, and businesses. Founded in 1894 by Festus J. Green, the company has served Western Iowa for more than 130 years, offering auctioneering and real estate services. Over time, the business expanded to include farmland sales, farm machinery, and consignment auctions, as well as residential real estate. Today, the company is led by Jim Green, who represents the fifth generation of family ownership. Ernst plans to continue recognizing Iowa businesses through the weekly program, and we here at Carroll Broadcasting will highlight the local businesses that are announced through the senator's office. House Speaker Pat Grassley says property tax negotiations during the recently concluded 2026 session of the Iowa legislature ended in a good place, in his opinion.
The 2% revenue cap really is going to be the hallmark of this piece of legislation that really limits the growth of new revenue that local governments can take in.
There will be some exceptions, however, for new home construction and for expenses like employee benefits and liability insurance. The plan provides future property tax relief in other ways by a homestead exemption worth up to $20,000 a year on a person's primary home. There's also a move to dedicate a greater share of the 1% sales tax for school infrastructure to property tax relief.
But I think where we ended was actually a good place. Hard 2% cap, allow local governments to pay those critical services that we expect, but at the same time, make sure we're getting certainty for the taxpayer.
Governor Reynolds has expressed support and praise for the package, but hasn't yet announced when she plans to sign that into law. Grassley says he's disappointed that the Iowa Senate did not debate a House bill that would have prohibited carbon pipeline developers from using the government's eminent domain authority to seize property from landowners who do not want the pipeline running through their property. This was year five of the standoff between a majority of Republicans in the House and in the Senate on that particular issue.
We took a few of our lessons that we learned in the conversation about pipelines and applied them to hydrogen, which is saying if you want to survey someone's land, you have to have their permission. That's been a big sticking point in any property rights fights that we've had over the last several years. And also that if you decline to be a part of a project, that you've declined to be a part of the project and you don't need to continue to be bothered by it. Now, that doesn't mean a new company couldn't come in. That doesn't mean you couldn't reach out.
Grassley says the legislature did act to set important guidelines for companies searching for pools of hydrogen deep underground. and extracting what's then found.
I've heard from conversations from people that think maybe doing nothing is better than doing a marginal compromise. There's a lot of different opinions on this topic. Ultimately, what I can say is we do need to have more protections, whether the project moves forward this fall, I mean, whether it ends up in court.
Grassley made those comments during a weekend appearance on Iowa Press on Iowa PBS. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at KCIM's at Midday News for this Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.